Welcome to my podcast, a first Alpina medium for all employees, as well as fans and everybody who wants to become part of First Alpina in the future. This episode was translated from the German interview with AI.
Welcome to episode 32 of my podcast, an episode with lots of women power. Our topic today is strong women, strong industry, and female executives at First Alpine. I am delighted to welcome a very high-caliber group to the podcast microphone today. A warm welcome to Carola Richter, member of the executive board and head of the metal forming division. Pauline Seidemann, CFO of the steel division. Nadja Jungwirt, CSO of First Alpine, rail technology. And last but not least, a warm welcome to the chairman of the executive board of First Alpine, CEO Herbert Eibensteiner. Thank you all for taking the time to join us. Female empowerment, that is the strengthening and promotion of women in the company, is a key goal for First Alpine in the coming years. My opening question to you all is, if you had to describe the topic of women in industry in one sentence, what would it be? Perhaps we'll start with you, Ms. Seidemann.
That's actually a buzzword. We are still severely underrepresented, but there need to be more of us, and there will be.
Ms. Richter?
Yes. If we knew what we were missing out on, but I'd like to add a sentence about what that means to me. I see it both ways. In fact, from the perspective of employers in companies with truly diverse teams, with a higher proportion of women, my experience is that discussions are much more positive, strategic, and long-term oriented. It's just much more fun. It's a different atmosphere. But I also see it the other way around from the perspective of women who are unfamiliar with many of our jobs in industry. Not only in the office, but also in production, these are very attractive jobs, especially for women, and very easy to plan around. We work as teams, the work is more exciting, and compared to other industries, we are quite well paid.
Ms. Jungwirt?
For me, the statement is that women are indispensable in industry, and I would like to explain that briefly. On the one hand, I am referring to roles, that is, neither as workers, nor as experts, nor as office staff, and certainly not as managers. This can be seen in the fact that the proportion of women in industry is generally significantly higher in other sectors than in heavy industry. And even when you put it in a historical context, I came across something interesting, namely that Austria had the highest female employment rate in Europe in the 1960s. And the basis for this was industrial jobs.
Mr. Eibensteiner, please join in. A few words on the topic of women in industry.
I'll keep it brief. I know that women contribute significantly to our company's success with their expertise.
Thank you very much for that. We can see how important this topic is. I would now be interested to hear about your personal career paths as women at First Alpine. Ms. Richter, I'd like to start with you. How did you come to First Alpine and what inspires you in your daily work as a board member and head of a division?
Well, I think the very simple answer to the question of how I came to First Alpine is that when you change companies and industries, you do so through a headhunter. But I think the question goes much deeper than that, and I believe the decisive factor in my career was that it was somehow predestined for me to work in a technology company. I became interested in science at an early age. I was also lucky to have parents who were okay with that, who encouraged it, and who, especially when the girls asked, repeatedly reinforced that it was good to be interested in it. In my next step, which I think also steered me a little bit in the direction of ending up at First Alpine, I was already in the manufacturing industry. I was already in industry. It was the chemical industry. But I think in terms of manufacturing, in terms of the manufacturing industry, it was also very, very technical. And I think I was also lucky to have good mentors along the way who gave me tips very early on. They told me, hey, maybe don't just do one side, for example, being an assistant somewhere, even if it was an exciting job or just strategy. This mentor told me, make sure you get involved in operational business very early on. Make sure you really experience what it's like in the operational business in the divisions. And I think that's something that definitely helps me in my current role. So, a wide range of different jobs. Yes, and then they asked me what I love about my work. I think you can see it and you can tell. I am really enthusiastic about my work, which is due to many, many things. On the one hand, it's a company that is open to newcomers, welcomes you, and gives you the opportunity to shape things. And I think I have also been very, very well received by the team, both by my colleagues on the executive board and in the metal forming division, for which I am responsible. And when you realize that you can make things happen and you can implement things, then that inspires you.
You can certainly hear the enthusiasm in your voice. Was there a moment in your career when you thought, now I'm going to take on responsibility, or now I want to contribute more?
Yes, I don't think there's one specific step where you take on responsibility and before that you didn't. I think it's quite normal in business life, in professional life, to take small steps and take on a little more responsibility. I think anyone would be overwhelmed if they had to take on a huge responsibility in one step. But I also think it's important to be open to taking that step. I also think I've observed that women in particular find it a little more difficult. Women often have the expectation of themselves that they have to be perfect at something. They have to be 100% ready for the next step. I've always done it this way. When someone asked me, I said, well, I may not know everything yet, I may not be able to do everything yet, but I'm taking the step now. There must be a reason why someone is asking me. And sometimes I found the job exciting. Sometimes I thought, I don't know if it's that exciting. I did it anyway and always said, well, I'll just shape it. And I think that desire to shape things, to take responsibility, to make decisions, should be in your blood. Then you'll feel comfortable with the greater responsibility. In any case, it was a gradual realization and not just a moment. Absolutely, it isn't just one step.
Ms. Seiderman, how was it for you? Were there any particular challenges or opportunities on your way to and within Voestalpine?
Well, my path was more of a coincidence, so it wasn't really planned. My original training is in business education. I studied business education, which is actually something that is stereotypically very female-dominated. You become a teacher. However, if you want to teach economics in school, you need practical business experience, so I naturally looked around and sent a speculative application to Voestalpine, where I started at the very bottom as a trainee in the finance department. What perhaps adds to my situation is that, as is sometimes the case in technical professions or in industry, in my case, there's also financial controlling, which is industry independent. You simply need it, regardless of how big a company is. And so I didn't really have any reservations or fears about simply applying on my own initiative. And it was kind of fun. And so I never ended up in school and have now been with our company for over 30 years.
Too bad for the students, but good for Voestalpine at least. Have you ever had a moment in your career where you felt like you had to fight harder than your male colleagues to even be seen?
Personally, I haven't felt that way. Not really, and I think it's also because I'm someone who doesn't like to do things by halves. I either do something completely or not at all. And when I was given tasks or sent on a project, I always really tried hard and made sure I did a good job and delivered good work. And that was noticed and rewarded accordingly. And so individual steps just happened, which is already, and that's still partly the case, but that's how I started and how I took my first steps. I was almost always the only woman, or there might have been two of us in a team or in training. And that may be unusual for some people, but I just didn't see it that way anymore and didn't question it, and maybe I can thank my mother for that. She wasn't a highly educated woman, but she always said, what a man can do, a woman can do too. Maybe if you pick up on that from an early age, it helped me not to feel like I was the only woman there and wonder if I could say that or how I should behave. At some point, you don't notice it anymore and you behave completely normally, and then your performance is also recognized.
And it should be normal for women to be there. Ms. Jungwirth, I'd now like to turn to you. You are the managing director of the Railway Systems Division. What aspects of your job appeal to you?
Yes, I'd like to start by explaining a little bit about how I got here, and then you'll see what makes the job so appealing. I joined Voestalpine 29 years ago and started in a traditionally female field, namely internal sales, but what happened was an immense enrichment and a stroke of luck for me. I had the opportunity to take on various other areas of responsibility over the years, including leadership roles, which ultimately enabled me to learn a lot of new things on the job and really expand my skills. And, as already mentioned in the background stories, this is a process and a development that is also dependent on seizing opportunities and being open to taking on new tasks. And that is perhaps also a bit of a bridge between the past and the present. What appeals to me in particular, it's working with people in challenging and complex situations. And that doesn't just apply to the internal environment, that is, colleagues, but also to customers. Simply seeing how I can bring difficult situations to a conclusion, to a good end, by trying to understand interests, balance interests, and seek common solutions. And that's what makes it so incredibly exciting. That is still a big part of my job today, and I love doing it. And of course, I remember the particularly challenging projects that were especially difficult, where a lot of effort was required from everyone involved, where the gap was very large, where interests had to be reconciled. And of course, what I've always wanted and what I'm so fortunate to be able to do in my job now is work in an international context, bringing together different cultures, interests and countries, which is incredibly exciting. Often you need someone to encourage you a little.
We already heard from Ms. Richter that she had a kind of mentor. How was it for you? What role have so-called mentors played in your career so far?
Actually, a big one. And again, I can only say that I was really very lucky. In my first years in the sales department, I had a department head who was an informal mentor to me, because at that time there was no formal mentoring program. And I simply had the opportunity to learn a lot from her, not only professionally, but above all in terms of soft skills. This also includes how to navigate as a woman in a male-dominated environment. And again, it wasn't just about internal relationships with colleagues from the technical department, which is very male-dominated or in production, but also on the customer side. The railway industry is, or rather was, a traditional and very male-dominated industry. And I was just really lucky here. That's why I think it's absolutely the right move for Voestalpine to implement a structured mentoring program today, because I think it's great that it's not left to chance or a stroke of luck, as it was for me to have a mentor, but that opportunities for women are being created specifically in a male-dominated environment. And it goes without saying that I am also available as a mentor in our mentoring program in the Voestalpine Metal Engineering Division.
So mentoring programs are essential for career paths, also for women, especially for women, of course.
An essential element and, in my opinion, precisely there to provide opportunities and make women's skills visible.
Mr. Eibensteiner, I would now like to ask you from a CEO's perspective, what role does female empowerment play in the Voestalpine Group, and are there any specific goals?
Yes, female empowerment is a central component of our strategy and should therefore also be reflected in our corporate culture strategy. We are working intensively to actually increase the proportion of women in all areas of Voestalpine. We are a technical company, and the number of female applicants is, of course, lower than in many other industries. At the management level, we want to grow from 14% to 18% by 2030. That actually sounds very, very little, but that means that by 2030, one in five managers will be a woman. And that is a clear goal. We are clearly moving in that direction because we are truly convinced that mixed management teams actually bring better results.
And where does Voestalpine start in order to really attract more women to a career in the group and also inspire them?
An important part is, of course, positioning ourselves on the job market. And we also do intensive information work in schools, at career fairs, and even participating in networking events to give women a real insight into the career opportunities at Voestalpine and what it's actually like to work in an industrial and economic technology group. At the same time, we naturally want to provide further training for the women already working for us and create the best possible conditions for continuing professional development.
So, as you just said, framework conditions are important and information work is important. These are essential factors in appealing to women even more effectively. Let's make it even more specific. What are the specific framework conditions or other factors? Perhaps you have a few examples for us.
Yes, I think an important issue is always the compatibility of work and family life. We hear this time and time again. Here, we naturally try to offer very flexible working arrangements and part-time models in order to actually implement this, even if it is certainly very difficult in a manufacturing company with shift work, for example. We already offer our employees childcare at several locations. However, the conditions that enable women to pursue a career also include respectful treatment in everyday working life. And I can say that, in my view, Voestalpine has a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to any kind of discrimination. We also attach great importance to this here. So what I'm saying here is that respectful interaction at all levels and female empowerment are key success factors.
thank you for now. Thank you for the really exciting conversation. We'll continue talking about female empowerment soon. In part two of this podcast episode, we will discuss the challenges that still need to be overcome in the coming years and the roles that women will play in the company in 10 years' time. Dear listeners, here is a brief summary of the three most important lessons from today's conversation. Female empowerment is a central component of Voestalpine's corporate culture. Mixed management teams are an essential factor for economic success and employee satisfaction at Voestalpine. Women should seize career opportunities with courage and confidence, especially in the technical field. That was a new episode of my podcast. If you are not yet a subscriber, follow our podcast on the platform where you are currently listening. If that is Spotify, please activate the bell so that you receive a monthly reminder when there is a new episode.
Voestalpine, one step ahead. This podcast is produced by WePodit.